This is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Welcome back to Tennessee Talks. Today I'm joined by Dr. Ken Berry. Dr. Berry is one of our folks. He grew up in a town called Hohenwald, Tennessee, and he attended the University of Tennessee Health Science Center for his education. He now lives on a farm with his wife and children. He's been a family physician for over 20 years. What do you raise on that farm, Doc?
Well, right now we have sheep and chickens and one turkey, but one of these days we're going to get some cows.
All right. Well, I've got on my little 60-acre plot out here, I got four horses, two miniature donkeys, three cats that we currently, we pick one up, then we lose one, and three dogs. Dogs are rescues like me. And my daughter's a barrel racer, so she rides those four horses, and that's about it.
My wife loves horses. She keeps threatening to get a few, but I'm afraid they'll eat up all my grass.
They're just hay burners. Don't. And your checkbook. That'd be easier to send a kid to Vanderbilt and raise a horse,
right.
I think.
And right.
I know that you've written numerous books. One of them was titled Kicking Ass After 50. And the other was Lies My Doctor Told Me. It's a pleasure having you on today, brother.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Congressman.
Thank you. And it's good to have someone out here who doesn't have an accent.
Right.
And Congress, there's 435 of us. And the only thing worse than the accents are the attitudes and the egos, I guess. But that's for another day. Well, tell our listeners about what you mean when you say that you should embrace the lifestyle that reflects the principles you teach.
Well, what I teach is an ancestral diet and an ancestral lifestyle. And, you know, plant-based is all the rage today. Everybody tries to get you to be a vegan. And when you actually look at the, not just nutrition research, but also anthropology and paleoanthropology, it's obvious that humans are meat eaters and should be meat eaters. And always have been meat eaters. And no matter how much you cry and whine and say you should eat plant-based for the animals or for the planet, that's foolishness. We've always eaten meat. We realize our best health when we eat meat, and we should continue to do that.
Well, I'm a carnivore. I remember my mama used to count out 8 green beans for me, and I'll eat green beans now if they've been cooked with some good smoked fat back in them. And,
exactly.
You know, you go to these places and these steam, there's no flavor. And I miss my mama's cooking when I'm out. Let me ask you a little bit about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's going to lead Department of Health and Human Services. What do you hope and expect to see out of him? Probably two different things.
Well, exactly. I hope to see great things out of him. But anytime the federal government is involved, then my great grandfather was from Missouri. You have to show me. I don't expect him to be able to get much done, but I have high hopes. There are two camps of people when it comes to RFK Jr. People who have opinions that they know what they're talking about. And then everybody else. Most people have big opinions, but they've never looked into him. They've never researched this. They think they know what he believes and what he says, but they have no idea in reality. I don't know if you've read the book that he wrote about Anthony Fauci or not, but that's one of the most well-written, well-researched books I've ever read in my professional career. And if there was any hint of dishonesty, or if he had just made anything up in that book, Fauci would have sued him immediately. Even if it was just innuendo, he would have still sued him for $50 million or something for defamation just to make a statement.
Sure.
But the fact that he hasn't sued him at all, I think, is quite telling. What that tells me is that Fauci never wants RFK Jr.'s attorneys to get the privilege of discovery, because that would hurt real damn bad. I think RFK is going to be great if he's able to get some things done that he wants to get done.
Yeah, I remembered when our former speaker, I'd always bring these guys in, and everybody would stand up and cheer for him. And I remembered I'm not real big on hero worship. And I sit in my usual seat in the back where I usually sit. And I remember leaning over somebody. I said, "Who the heck is that?" And they go, "That's Anthony Fauci, man. He's the guy." And I was like, "Man, I'm not a fan." People have short memories on him during the AIDS epidemic. He followed some of the
Absolutely.
same patterns he did under this. And
Absolutely.
I don't know if a lot of people died unnecessarily during the AIDS epidemic, but I know a lot of them did under, in my opinion, under COVID. I always remember the first time I really heard anything about COVID. I was, I'm a creature of habit. I sleep in my office at night, and then I go down down to the gym and shower. And you'd always see the same guys about at the same time brushing their teeth and combing their hair and stuff after they showered and worked out. And a guy beside me, and he was an older gentleman, and he said, "Tim?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "I've been watching you. You're doing a good job." And I said, "Well, thank you." And he goes, "You know anything about this COVID?" And I said, "No, I really don't. I've heard about it, something maybe out of China or something." And he said, "Have you ever heard of the Wuhan province?" And I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Well, that's where they do their the Chinese do their biological warfare, some of their chemical warfare stuff." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "That's where we think this COVID thing's come out of." I go, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." And he said something that always stuck with me. He said, "You know what the Chinese biggest problem is right now?" I said, "No, sir, what is it?" And he said, "People are living too long for them." And I was like, my dad fought the Japanese in the Pacific. And then after the war, he went to China, and they ended up fighting the Chinese over there. And I followed their history, and not in too far recent history, they actually toyed with the idea of dropping an atomic bomb on their own people just to see the effects. And this was a documented thing, and it went all the way up the chain. And I've always thought about that in the Chinese with this thing, and whether it was something they meant to contain or they didn't. And then they went on to tell me that they think possibly that it was released. When it was released, they just didn't tell the rest of the world about it, that they released it, because didn't want to be blamed first, and they didn't want anybody trying to stop it either. So anyways, you got that one for free. And that guy was on the intelligence committee, oddly
Yeah.
enough,
And that's one of the
which.
main things I have hope for RFK Jr. is that he will assemble committees that will look at everything with fresh eyes. Because as you know, there was so much emotion involved in COVID that the water is so muddy that currently I don't think any of us knows what's really true and what's really not true. And I hope that we just look at everything with fresh eyes, all the old research. Any of the pending research, we've got to look at it with fresh eyes. We can't go into it with preconceived notions.
Yeah, they just did the ban on what was that, red dye number three,
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, they brought back the red M&Ms, I believe it was, after it was banned. That might have been red dye number five, I'm not sure. What do you break that down for our listeners? What was the reason for that? Is it necessary? Is it, you're going to have to eat a battleship size of red dye number three
Yes.
before it does anything to you, or is there something to worry about?
So this red dyes, it's been established to be a carcinogen. That doesn't mean it's guaranteed to give you cancer. It just means it's going to increase your risk of developing cancer. So they actually took it out of cosmetics like 30 years ago, but for some reason it's still safe to eat for the last 30 years. So I don't think that eating this red dye is going to give you cancer immediately, but eating enough of it consistently enough for long enough, it's going to increase your chances of developing cancer a meaningful amount. So I think this is a great thing that we got it out of our food supply. It's been banned in other countries for decades in the food supply. There are many other things in the American food supply currently that I consider to be much faster poisons than this red dye. But I think this is a great first little victory. And I also love it that the Democrats tried to slide around and do this before they got out of office so they could take a little credit for this as well.
Well, they've had long enough, and they've finally done it. I just the timing of it, of course, is always suspect to me. Now everything's going on, and I've been in In Congress, this is my 7th year, and I've been in this is the state legislature for 16. I was county mayor for 8, and I don't think anything ever happens by accident. And I'm always watching when somebody makes an announcement. I'm saying, what the heck is really going on behind the scenes, or what other look at this shiny object over here while we sneak this other thing in. And that always is. I'm always suspect of that. The drones flying, all of a sudden it's the biggest issue in the world, and then all of a sudden it's not an issue anymore, but they're still flying up there. We had one get sucked into a jet plane or an airplane that was one of those super soakers or whatever you call it, that fly down and pick up large amounts of water, and then they drop it on the fire in California, and the plane was out of circulation for 3 or 4 days, and you hardly ever heard anything about it. But that was one of my biggest fears with the drones. Do you think we're going to see more of this under Kennedy? Do you think that they will start banning some things that we know are bad? And, you know, I know over in Europe, they, my colleague, Anna Paulina Luna, she's really active on this and banning all this other stuff. And I know in Europe, they, you look at what, say, maybe even a Coca-Cola or something, and then you bring it over here, and then you see just line after line after line of things that are just unidentifiable by the normal human. And, you know, they're there as preservative. They're there to keep the flavor or keep the color or whatever, make it sparkly or whatever. Do you expect to see more of that under Kennedy?
I hope so. And there's a long list of things that need to be taken out of the American food supply immediately. And I love it that our friends on the other side of the aisle showed us how quickly something like this can be taken out of the food supply. And I think they've set a great precedent. And now we need to one up them about 10X. Yeah. Because I think there's a long list of things that are not human food that should not be in the food supply, because, you know, as well as I do, people who've got the money to do better, they do better. They're not going to eat this crap. The people who wind up having to eat this crap are the poorest of our citizens who cannot afford to do better. All they can do is buy the junk food and the ultra processed food. So they're literally chained to all these additives and all these extra things that shouldn't be in the human food supply. They have no choice. It's either eat that or starve. And that's not the way it ought to be.
No, it isn't. And you said that about the poor folks. I remember when I was mayor, we did these Meals on Wheels, and they had some real problems, and we were able to help them out to make sure we had some of our shut-ins and disabled folks in situations not under their own doing. They were just stuck in a situation, needed to get food. And I remember seeing this Hispanic family, and I could tell they probably hadn't been here long, and there was a mama. And it seemed like there are 3 or 4 little boys behind her, and each one of them was a little smaller and a little smaller and a little smaller. And they had they all were eating, you know, Cheetos or something and a soft drink. And I remember thinking, you know, they probably didn't have that down in Mexico. And that is why the CDC listed, when I was in the state Senate, I made it more difficult to have the cold drink machine, Coca-Colas and stuff in the high schools and the junior highs. And they, I remember they had they said that, what was it, 100% of the Hispanic kids entering the system now would have type 2 diabetes. And they went on to, I think, 50% of Black kids and 25% of the white kids. And so I fought them like crazy. It turned out it was just a cash cow for these. And I remember over in Middle Tennessee, they found out that a principal, it was almost $500,000 a year slush fund that he could do whatever he wanted to do with it. And I remember in the Knoxville News Sentinel, they were taking shots at me, kind of like, you know, here's Burchett. Burchett needs to worry about what they're teaching in schools, not what they're drinking. And they showed a principal, you know, they had their hands on their hips, kind of like they were ticked off. And then you see in the background, it was in the cafeteria, and this obese kid had 2 cold drinks in front of him. And I thought, I bet they did. The editors missed that one, and they sure as hell did. And I love that picture. I can remember that as long. I thought that was a great, I was at least had a little bit of justification when I was doing. Well, you mentioned Times X, but I was going to say on X or Twitter, as I still call it, you're incredibly popular. And, And give me some of your takes on your book, Lies Your Doctor Told You. And
So,
how
go ahead.
and the other ones as well.
Yes, sir. So, Lies My Doctor Told Me, I wrote it a few years back now, but basically, doctors are just dudes and chicks. They're just like everybody else. They're just as susceptible of believing false things that the mainstream medicine narrative and the corporate media narrative, they're just as susceptible to that and believing that as everybody else. And so there's this long list of things that the average doctor will tell the average patient as if it's a fact. And there's just no truth in it at all. And some of these lies would include red meat will cause heart disease. This has never been proven, never been shown. There's no mechanism for that to happen. But it's very popular to believe that and say that. So many doctors say that. Many doctors say a plant-based diet is the healthiest diet. Also, has never been proven to be true. That bread is a superfood, that you gotta have bread in your diet. And I love bread, but if you're trying to lose weight or reverse type 2 diabetes, bread plays no part in your nutrition. That bread converts completely into starch, which turns into sugar, which raises your blood sugar, which is the definition of diabetes. There's all these lies that doctors told, and I was guilty of many of these in my early medical career. And so it was a lot of fun writing that book, and it's still doing very well. And people shout out me on X every day about that book. I also wrote a book called Kicking Ass After 50, because most people in today's society think that when you're 50, you're washed up, you're done, you're ready for the recliner. And that's not the way it used to be, and it's not the way it should be in the future. Our older people are people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, are these, they're repositories of wisdom. But very often we discount them. We put them in the nursing home or put them in the recliner and we forget about them. And they allow that to happen to themselves, but it's often because they're achy, they're stiff, they're have brain fog, they got no energy, they nap during the day. And it's because they're not honoring the principles of a proper human diet. They're not feeding their body what it needs, and they're not treating their body the way it needs to be treated. And therefore, they fit that paradigm of this old washed up person. And so Kicking Ass After 50 was my attempt to reach out to men and women over the age of 50 and say, hey, get your ass up off the couch, out of the recliner. You've got kids and you've got grandkids, and they need to know what you know. And you need to be out there kicking the soccer ball with them and teaching them life's lessons, instead of being fat and diabetic and brain fogged and laying on the couch and watching MSNBC. You need to stop that and get up and live a real human life.
My daddy and mom and daddy had me when they were 40. Daddy fought in the Second World War, and mama flew an airplane in the Second World. They were pretty badass, actually. And they are,
Sounds
yeah,
like it.
daddy's from Clarksville. Mom was over in Cheatham County. But they, I can remember daddy out throwing the football with me when he was 60, 70 years old in the
Yes.
front yard, 50 years old anyway. And, and just in being active and going at it. And I'm 60. I get up every morning, sleep on my couch in my office, and then I go down to the gym and I get on the treadmill for a few for 10 or 20 minutes or so, get my heart rate up, and I do my push-ups, then try to do some pull-ups and get my shower. And then, I get my steps in because I'm on three committees and I'm running up and down the halls and stairs. I rarely take an elevator, but I think a lot of it for me anyway has to do with genetics. I had My parents were good looking folks, and they were healthy, and they we always ate salads, but we also ate a lot of meat, a lot of beef, and
And
pork,
genetics do play a role, but the vast majority of most people's problem is the junk that they put in their mouth. And once you change that and go back to eating real human food again, it's like 50 is the new 30 and 60 and 70. You're still out there throwing the football with your grandkids and your great grandkids. And that's how it ought to be.
Dad used to say rocking chairs killed more people in this country than wars have. So, and I
Amen.
believe it. Hey, give me the truth on the ivermectin before we get off here. What's the real deal on it? I know that it's used, it's like a deworming agent and some things, but go ahead.
So ivermectin has been approved for use in humans since the early 80s. It's a great anti-parasite medication, and there's also quite a bit of research that shows that it stops if that it slows down, if not stops, viral replication. And that's why so many people are like, hey, this might help with COVID, right? And so, as I said earlier, the water around the whole COVID issue is so muddy right now because everybody had an emotional opinion and there was so much fighting and bickering. This is another thing that I hope that RFK Jr. looks at with fresh eyes is let's actually do a meaningful, well-designed study on this because we know it's safe. We've been using it in human beings for decades for many, many different things. It's not a question of, oh, it's dangerous to use it. That's foolishness. We know it's safe to use. We've used it in millions and millions of patients. Let's actually design a study to see if it actually helps with viral replication at a meaningful dose or if it doesn't. And then we can move on to the next topic. But if all we're doing is fighting and bickering and name calling, and nobody's doing a well thought out, well designed study, then we still don't know the answer to this very important question.
It reminds me after 9/11, everybody had all this equipment that they would never need in any shape, form, or fashion, had all this money to spend. And, you know, hospitals in the area, they had huge refrigeration areas. They were setting up tents because people were going to die and they were going to have to, you know, maybe I'm jinxing myself, but I was never vaccinated. And I've never gotten COVID, and I've been in the, I've been everywhere, I'm a congressman,
yeah.
And I was an anti-masker, and yeah. People would yell at me, and I'd be walking down the street in Washington. I remember a guy, he got beat, and it was a Yankee up there in New York, and I remember him yelling at me about wearing my mask. I said, dude, I'm outside, and now it turns out the mask, as they said early, the mask didn't do anything. And then they exactly. came out and said, wear your mask. And then they said, the masks don't do anything. Of course, you fly on an airplane and they would mistakenly say federal law says you have to wear your mask. And no, it wasn't federal law. It was the airlines or the FAA came up with that. We just got in line and we're like a bunch of sheep. And I'm really afraid of that kind of mentality. Yeah. If something really major were to overthrow type or to change in the direction of democracy. But hey, what would you tell young people today, health-wise, maybe three things, kids in 18 to 20s, what they could do? A lot of young folks follow me
on
the internet and things that they could do right now to improve their physical and mental health.
Yeah, it's easy, Congressman. Number one, stop eating and drinking sugar, okay? Your body that you're running around in right now, as well as your future body, is literally made of what you've eaten and drank. Okay. So if you eat junk and drink junk, your body's going to be junk. You're going to wind up with type 2 diabetes. You're going to wind up with obesity and high blood pressure and parts of your body below the belt not working like they ought to. You don't want that. Okay. Stop the sugar. Sugar is not a health food. Sugar is junk. Stop all the grains, wheat, rice, oats, and corn all turn into starch, which turns into sugar. And then number three, stop all the vegetable seed oils. Use butter or bacon grease or beef tallow. That's the fat that human beings have been cooking with for thousands of years. Put down the soybean and the canola. Use real animal fat. That's it. In a nutshell, 80% of all metabolic disease comes from the diet. There is a tiny bit of genetics. There's a tiny bit of other things involved. Exercise does matter a little, but 80% of the battle is just stopping those three things and then cover your plate at least half with fatty meat, eggs, and seafood. And if you want some vegetables and some nuts and berries, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. You can just be a full-bore carnivore like I am. But to think that tofu and bread and all the junk and ultra processed crap, if you think that's healthy, you're being tricked. That's propaganda. Real food is food that we've been eating for thousands of years. If you do that, your body will thank you by not having diabetes and not having hypertension and not having a heart attack.
Wow, that's a great, great answer. This is the part of the show that I hate the most and my guests love. They get to ask me any question, yes, any question you want.
So. I got two quick questions. Number one, I'm sure you've heard of the Prime Act, and I'm hoping that you're a sponsor. I think right now it's stuck in committee, But we need to get that out and we need to get that passed. I've got many friends who have small ranches with cattle and sheep and goats, and some of them are having to drive 2 and 3 hours to go to a USDA approved processing.
Let me give the quick rundown on that. Massey's bill. Actually, I was drawing one up similar to it, and they said Massey's got this bill. Thomas is a dear friend of mine. We had lunch last week at Tally Thai, a little Thai restaurant there. It's just Chinese food, whatever. And he is a libertarian. He's got cattle. I would like to get cattle, but my daughter would name them and then I'd have pets and I don't need any more pets. But and all that really is a bill that just says that people can process their own meat. And what they've done is, as they always do, the do-gooders get in there and say, oh, they're not processing meat right. They're going to cause a national epidemic or something. And what it is, the big boys get in there and they hire these do-gooders to protest and put out false information. And so they come in with all these new standards for and they're called slaughterhouses. Now they call them processing, but we grew up calling, and I'm not, doesn't bother me, but they have, and so they put incredible rules and regulations that only the big companies can afford. And so it drives the small guy out of business, and guess who owns it? I believe a company out of Brazil, a group out of Brazil, and I believe the Chinese own, I think, over 80% of our meat processing in this country. And it needs to go back. It needs to be a states' rights issue. And forget the do-gooders. That's all. They do this every time. When I was mayor one time, I remember they had a deal where, oh, we're getting grease into our sewage systems, which there is. And they said, we got to stop these restaurants. But as it turns out, the number one producer of grease is just your household when you wash a fork or a knife off. It's just the cost of doing business. And so they made all the restaurants put in these $5,000 and $10,000 grease traps. Well, a moment, and they gave them a deadline or we'll shut you down. The mom and pops, guess what? They couldn't do it. But the McDonald's and the big boys of the world, they could do it. And all that's it is right. is another nickel on an order of French fries. And so they put them out of
I think you're exactly right. I think it's a states' rights issue. And I think the Constitution is quite clear on the rights that states have. And I hope that there are many other issues like this that are turned back to the states to make their own decision.
Go ahead. No, you said you were going to have two questions.
The second question is, why don't you follow me on Twitter?
Well, I was just looking down here. I'm seeing if I did or I didn't. And as soon as we get off here, I will correct that error, brother. But you're a Tennessee boy. That's right. I'll be over there in Middle Tennessee. Maybe I can, maybe we'll go over to Arnold's and have some of that roast beef that everybody complains about. I will correct that error. Well, I want to thank you so much, brother, for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for the work you do. You actually do work that changes people's lives, and we're glad to have you on our side. And I'm glad you don't have an accent, so that's cool too.
Thank you, Congressman. It was a pleasure. And you hit me up next time you're in Midwest Tennessee, and we'll go eat a steak.
You got it. And I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and I want to thank y'all so much for listening to another episode of Tennessee Talks. And as always, thank y'all for sending me here. All right, Doc. Hey, thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Hey, what county do you live in?
I'm in Benton County. Where I'm at. Camden is the little town here. And I was going to try to bring up water fluoridation, because back in 2014, I got the city council here to take it out of the city water. And I'm hoping that that'll also get some good traction at the federal level, if not the state level.
Well, yeah, that would go around when I was a kid a lot. I'm 60, and I can remember and then they'd say it's a conspiracy theory, but then it's just another chemical that some company owns, and they got the ear of somebody, and everybody's in, they get an editorial and say, oh, this is conspiracy, this bunch of right-wing nuts, and everybody gets afraid of it, and that's what happens every dadgum time. So, well, thank you, Doc. I appreciate it. And when I get over there to your neck of the woods, I'll come visit, all right?
Sounds great.
Thank you. And you ever need me for anything, call me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.